So Matthew chapter 14, verses 1 to 12. What happens when the power of a hungry man comes under threat? Someone that's so power hungry, what happens to him? What happens when immorality in the life of a national leader is brought into the open? Well, we're going to explore this evening. Well, in recent times, recent for most of us, we've seen leaders fall, haven't we? So whether it's Saddam Hussein in Iraq, Milosevic in Yugoslavia, there's a whole host of leaders throughout our time, throughout history, who have fallen. We've seen those who have been drawn and fallen through their sexual antics, their sexual immorality. And you can see this almost on a monthly occurrence, whether it's kings or queens, presidents, prime ministers, members of the cabinet. There's nothing new under the sun. And as we look at this passage this evening, it has a little bit of everything. Threatened power alongside publicly exposed immorality were characteristic of Herod Antipas in this passage. He was described, one commentator has described this Herod as a puppet ruler. He was, after all, the leader of an area of Galilee and Perea within the Roman Empire. And this passage tonight, we'll read about Herod and his dealings with Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist, who often is regarded as the last prophet. So for those taking notes, it's entitled John's Beheading, and we're going to explore exactly what unfolds in this. Well, let's have a look together at this. John spoke of Jesus in this way. This is how great John spoke about Jesus. We've got to get this in order to see the utter devastation of what unfolds in our passage. John could see quite clearly that Jesus was no ordinary man. Listen to these words that John speaks. "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." This is John speaking about the Lord Jesus. For many, he was just a good man. But for John, he could see quite clearly that Jesus was no ordinary man, that he was going to take the sin of the world. After all, John was described, and you could almost see that John was like a signpost. Now, if you go on the main road, you don't look at the signpost and think, "Ooh, isn't that a lovely signpost?" But the signpost points to someone or something else. And that's exactly what John did. He was a signpost. He was a signpost to the Lord Jesus. And ultimately, John knew that Jesus was far more than a great teacher and a miracle maker, but that Jesus was going to perform something that no other human being has ever been able to perform. That Jesus was going to do something which had cosmological consequences and cosmological an outpouring that would just change the human race forever. As he died on the cross, as in the words of John, to take away the sin of the world and to defeat the one enemy that no one else has been able or ever will be able to beat, of death itself. Like I said, John was a signpost, or if you like that imagery, John was like someone that was holding a spotlight that didn't point to himself, but pointed to the Lord Jesus. If John had a mobile phone, it wouldn't be a selfie, it would be a picture all the time taken of Jesus. He was always looking at Jesus, always making sure that Jesus was the one that had all the glory. This is the John that we're looking at tonight. And the encounter between Herod and John actually points to Herod's insecurity in his role as a leader of that area, but also to see Jesus for who he really is. And we know, don't we, as we look through history, and in fact, we don't have to look through history, we don't have to look on a global scale, but if you look, think of some leaders that you've come across, many of them are very insecure. Maybe there's leaders in your workplace, for instance, who are very insecure, and we'll see some characteristics about Herod that you may think, hey, that sounds like my boss. Well, there may be some similarities there, because there are many insecurities in Herod and the way that he leads. But let's remind ourselves what we heard a few weeks ago. In Matthew chapter 13, at the end of chapter 13, we discover that when Jesus returns to his hometown of Nazareth, people reject him. People take offense at him. And as we start the beginning of chapter 14, Matthew, as he compiles all these different encounters between Jesus and various folk that he comes across, wants to show us that it wasn't just ordinary town folk that rejected Jesus, but it was the great political, social elite who also rejected Jesus. They too would not see Jesus for who he is. So let's just look again at verses 1 and 2 to begin with. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the reports about Jesus, so he knew exactly who Jesus was. That's an important factor. And he said to his attendants, "This is John the Baptist." This is bizarre. We'll come on to this in a moment. "He has risen from the dead. That is why miraculous powers are at work in him." Hold those thoughts for a moment about John rising from the dead. So we have this idea that Herod is a totally irrational man, quite a bizarre leader. Herod, you see, couldn't get John out of his head. And Matthew, as he writes and as he compiles the various encounters of Jesus and different kinds of folk, is in some ways moving away slightly, digressing from the main narrative. And we'll see why that is in a moment. But then in verses 3 to 12, it's an account that's very revealing about, like I say, Herod's character and patterns of behavior. And it also shows us something about what John was like. So tonight, Herod's actions should warn each of us. And it should also make us think about John and how John responded. So those of you taking notes, Herod's wickedness and John's witness. Let's begin with Herod's wickedness. Well, what do we know? Well, Herod divorces his wife. This is now a little bit of a catch-up. Herod divorces his wife. He marries Herodias, who has been the wife of his half-brother Philip until Herod steps in. John publicly has already criticized Herod. And Herod, as we'll see, certainly didn't like that. Herodias disliked John even less. And so that's why Herod gets John arrested and put in prison. So at the birthday party of Herod, Herod was thrilled with the entertainment, which was his stepdaughter, whose name was Salome or Salome. And Herod promised her anything she wanted. Her mother asked for the head of John the Baptist on a plate. And foolishly, Herod ordered it done. And so in the account we see whereby the severed head was given to Salome, who then in turn presented it to her mother. You still with me? Yeah, good. It's a bit of a catch-up there. This is where we're at. And then in verse 12, we read, and this is really important, John's disciples came and took his body and buried it. Then they went and told Jesus. We know, as I've said already, that Jesus, who was John's cousin, had a very high regard for John. And when Jesus knew that Herod wanted his cousin dead, Jesus refers to Herod as, wait for it, that fox. Describes him as a fox. Luke 13, verse 32, there's the reference. But imagine being called a fox. Now, there's various images of a fox we could have. In my former life, or maybe that's not the right turn of phrase, but in my younger days, I used to love snooker. And there was this snooker player who I really enjoyed. And he had white hair. And he had a lot of white hair. And I liked his playing, and I wanted to be like him. So for some time, I was known as the Silver Fox. The fact that my hair wasn't white, and it went over most people's heads. But his description was a silver fox, someone that had white hair, and he was quite crafty around the snooker table. But most of us, when we think of fox, we think of vermin, don't we, Alan? And we know what foxes can do. If any of you feed a fox, please don't do it, okay? If anyone sees a fox and kicks it, I'm not going to complain. That's what I think of foxes. I hate them. Well, maybe not hate, but, you know, you step in their business and, you know, they cry in the middle of the night. They wake you up. They are pains in the neck. And they cause a lot of damage. So Herod is like to Jesus, vermin. That's very shocking, but that's great imagery for us to understand what Herod was like. He was like vermin. And as we look in these few verses, we get a little case study of wickedness. So why was he, in the words of Jesus, a wicked fox? Well, let's have a look a moment. First of all, he pleased himself. Everything about Herod and his relationships was about him pleasing himself. Women, for instance, were viewed as commodities. He throws away one wife and he gets the latest model. He didn't care if this was going to cause a scandal. He didn't think about the cost it would be to those around him. Didn't care about his wife. He just wanted a fresh new model. And we know, don't we? When people please themselves, there is always a victim. Maybe we have been victims when others have pleased themselves. Well, this was quite a characteristic of this Herod man. He would please himself and not think about the actions and his consequences. Look at the way that he looks and views his stepdaughter. Look at verse 6. On Herod's birthday, the daughter of Herodias, which was his stepdaughter, danced for the guests, and it pleased Herod so much that he promised with an oath to give her whatever she asked. It's quite sickening. Now, I don't read Greek, I don't know Greek, but I have many books that have described this verse in a way that literally Herod was turned on by his stepdaughter. There was something arousing in him as he saw his stepdaughter dance. He was, after all, a wicked man. Always an unstable thing. So first of all, Herod's wickedness showed itself through being pleasing himself. But also, he feared rejection. He feared rejection. Herod was it's bizarre, isn't it? So many characteristics showing themselves, whereby some of these things sometimes can be quite a positive thing. But Herod was described as a very sensitive man. But also, not just sensitive about how people felt in themselves, but also in the negative sense of how people viewed him. So he certainly feared rejection. And this was linked to his standing, his status, and his power. Look at verse 5. Herod wanted to kill John, but he was afraid of the people because they considered John a prophet. So always that fear of people in the background. He feared, you see, rejection. Josephus, who is a well-known historian of that time, says that the reasons that John was initially imprisoned was because Herod feared an uprising against him. So John had to literally be taken out of the equation. But on the other hand, he says, Josephus says that if John was eliminated, the people could still have an uprising. He was torn between the two. If I take him in and imprison him, I'll in some ways take him out of the equation and I'll be safe. But if I leave him, there may be a chaos amongst us and there may be some other form of uprising. Herod, you see, was a man torn by fears. Fears of political and personal safety. He was torn by the fears, and we see this, don't we, in verse 9. The king was distressed, but because of his oaths and his dinner guests, he ordered that her request be granted of John's killing, of John's head on a platter. Such was his fear of being rejected by his guests. He was torn after all. What other people thought of him mattered more than doing the right thing. Pathetic, really, isn't it? That he would go with the flow, go with the majority, rather than deciding what is the right thing to do. Something we see, isn't it, in the playground. Yesterday I was at my daughter's school fair, and you see what you see played out in the playground, we see as adults as well, don't we? Those who are rejected. Those where the majority rules, even if it's wrong. Those children in the playground who just go with the majority because there's peer pressure. No different here to Herod. He feared rejection. So Herod pleased himself. He feared rejection. But also notice, he sinned willfully. And this is the core, isn't it? This is at the heart of the problem for Herod. That he sinned and it was willfully disobeying what was right. See, Herod knew what he was doing. He was going not just against the social norms of the day, but he was going against the Almighty God himself. Herod would have known Leviticus 18 verse 16, which is, see, we don't know it, but he would have known it. Leviticus 18 verse 16, which says, "Do not have sexual relations with your brother's wife." He knew that. He could have quoted that. But again, willful disobedience. Now, we may have not gone off and had sexual relations with our brother's wife. Okay, that's probably not us here tonight. But we all sin willfully. We all do things because it pleases us. We see something and maybe we should look away. But we look again, that second glance. Sinning willfully. Gentlemen, you know what that's like on a summer's day. As you see ladies with short skirts. I'm being honest, yeah? And then ladies, you look and you see that dress and you've got 45 dresses in the wardrobe already, and you think, hey, that one's going to transform my life. And life will be so much more better if I have that dress that has more flowers on it than the park around the corner. We all sin willfully. We all do things and we know that they're wrong, but we are disobedient. So Herod, we see, sinned willfully. But also notice how he responds stupidly as well. In the words of Dad's army and those who spoke and shouted at Pike, he was a stupid boy. He was gifted. This is Herod, by the way, not Pike. He was gifted. He was able. He was strong. And yet, oh, so stupid. How ridiculous and foolish to offer his teenage daughter anything she wanted. You know? What kind of father would do that today? Maybe some of you would, I don't know. But he says, you know, you can have whatever you want. He offers it to her. And what was it that she wanted? She wanted John the Baptist. She wanted John the Baptist on a platter, on a plate. And we see this, don't we? Whereby the stupidity just takes over. Foolishness. Again, this shouldn't surprise us about Herod. Herod, you see, was one of the most cleverest men of that area, of that region. He would have done, if there was a degree at the time, he would have done his degree in leadership. He would have done his postmasters or masters in strategic management. He was a clever guy. But you know what? You can be clever and stupid. And there are many people like that today, aren't there? They have power, and yet at the same time, they can be the most foolish, stupid people. And the last on the list this evening of Herod's wickedness was that he, and this is the ultimate, he rejected the Lord Jesus. He had rejected Jesus by killing the one, like I said, who was Jesus' signpost. He rejected Jesus with a little knowledge. And we all know, don't we, that a little knowledge is a dangerous or a fatal thing. A little knowledge is a dangerous or a fatal thing. And further on in the story, we know that Herod rejected Jesus to his face as Jesus was sent to him from Pilate. He rejects Jesus. And it's easy to look at that list, isn't it? Easy to look at that list and kind of tick them and think, that's not me. But let's be honest, let's wise up, family of Hook. We've all been there. We've all been there on that list. All of us could say each of those things about Herod. And again, praise the Lord for the Lord Jesus who welcomes us back. It's sobering to see ourselves in who Herod was. Maybe not to this extreme, in the sense of looking for someone's head to be chopped off, but at the core we see something of ourselves as we look at Herod. So secondly, let's look briefly at John's witness. John spoke the truth consistently. John spoke the truth consistently. John had denounced Herod's behavior repeatedly. It would have been so much easier, wouldn't it, for John to kind of turn a blind eye. But if any of you had those record players, the younger folk, maybe don't know what a record player is, that vinyl, though it's back in fashion, and you had a scratch on it, and it would play the same groove over and over, over and over. That needle stuck on the record. And that's exactly what John was like. He spoke truth and he knew that he had to be consistent to what the truth was. When Herod was disobeying God, when Herod was moving away from God's way and Jesus was speaking truth, he knew that he had to speak the truth consistently. Because John was all about calling people to repentance. Calling people to move away from the wrong way, to move to the right way, which was to follow the Lord Jesus. Remember what was going on as we read the account and as we see who Herod was a public scandal. There was a marital affair where there was great disorder. And people knew about this. People in the communities would have known this. And if the Sun and the Mirror were out then, the newspapers, they would have reported it. But you know what? This wasn't just tabloid news. This was truth, if we call the Times and the Telegraph the truth this evening. But the reality is that there was a public disorder that was going on. And the obvious application for us as we think about speaking truth consistently is we need to be people who aren't afraid to speak up about truth. We need to point people to Jesus. We need to call people in some ways, old-fashioned word, maybe we won't use in our everyday word, everyday life, but call people to repentance, to point people away from their lifestyle, which brings destruction, which brings heartache, and point them to the Lord Jesus. It's a difficult thing to do, but we are to be faithful. So John didn't just speak truth consistently, but he also suffered unjustly. Herod, as we know, had arrested John and bound him. And if we are bold with the truth, some people won't like it. It's not here about shouting or aggression or being rude, but often it's about just speaking the truth. The recent elections recently, we had, at the end of the election, we had Tim Farron, the Lib Democrat leader, who stood down. And we could put Tim Farron under the microscope this evening. I was chatting earlier this morning about Tim Farron to someone in our congregation. There's lots of faults with Tim Farron and the way that he kind of dodged the bullet about same-sex, etc. And his answers were a little weak sometimes. But in the end, he knew that he would have to compromise greatly in order to continue as the leader of the Lib Dems. And some would say that he suffered unjustly. Some would say that he suffered unjustly as he spoke and he stood for biblical standards. And he was the target in the end as he fell. But he knew if it was between Jesus and his party, Jesus would win. So, if we speak up, we too will have to face being unjustly suffer. We will have to suffer unjustly. We might have friendships which are cut. We may have promotion that's denied at work. But again, who are we following? Is it God or man? Are we a fearer of man or God? And then lastly, thirdly, John was approved by Jesus. Verse 13. Look at verse 13 again. Well, we haven't looked at verse 13, but have a look at verse 13. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. See, John was on the side of Jesus. John was a member of Jesus' team. Jesus, we know, submitted to John, didn't he, as he was baptized. Chapter 11, 2, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist." John saw it as a great privilege of preparing the way for the Lord Jesus. And yet Jesus spoke and said, "Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." As he spoke of his mate, of his cousin, John the Baptist. But John was approved by Jesus. And so the great challenge for us this evening is, what do we want of ourselves? What do we want of ourselves? Do we want to follow the Lord Jesus and be prepared to carry our cross, be prepared to suffer? John suffered in a so unjust way. But are we ready for that this evening? John faced a wicked man who had the power to continue his life or end his life. But in the end of the day, John spoke truth. John spoke consistently. Will we? Let me pray. Father God, thank you so much that you've reminded us this evening that we're not that far away from Herod. Although he acted in such an extreme manner, there are characteristics of Herod that we can see in ourselves. But Father, at the same time, as we look at John, Oh, would we want to be signposts? Oh, would we want to be ones that point the spotlight on him? Father God, help us tonight to be like John, pointing to Jesus and not like Herod. We need your grace, Lord. We need your power. Amen.